Welcome into the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. With me, as always, Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. We have an insanely mediocre card for you this weekend to preview. But there is, Jordan, a lot of UFC news to discuss once again. I guess Dana White is going to keep doing this. He did this last week. He did it again this week where he went live and started announcing a bunch of fights that will be taking place in the next few months here in the UFC. He announced a replacement for Justin Gaethje, who lost his opponent. He announced a couple main events and co-main events. So a lot of news coming here in the UFC, even though we don't have a great fight card here coming up this week.
I mean, look, it's the lesser of two evils, I guess, from the standpoint of like the schedule and the fact that, like, look, we're happy that there's 11 consecutive weeks. We're in the middle of it right now for the UFC. I mean, that's fun. And but you're going to get cards like the one that we're going to have on Saturday night in a co-main event. The features, I think, combined, the guys are 1-5 in their last, six fights between them. But then, you know, you get the exciting news about, you know, upcoming fights. And I think the one in particular that you're talking about, so Justin Gaethje was supposed to co-main event against Dan Hooker next week at UFC 313. That fight, it had to be figured out because Dan Hooker's got an injury, so he's out. And Rafael Fiziev, who, you know, has been on the sidelines for a little bit, has fought Justin Gaethje before, a very experienced and unorthodox and exciting striker, is going to get in there with Justin Gaethje. So that fight will be certainly entertaining and fun because Justin Gaethje always brings it. He's never in a boring fight. So luckily they're able to keep a relatively important co-main event. And then obviously is what we've been talking about, what's going on in the lightweight division with Islam Makhachev not having an opponent yet for his next title defense. If it indeed he is going to continue to defend the belt 155, he's teased about going up to 170 and challenging Bilal. And then there's Ilya Topuria. You know, Ilya Topuria has said, hey, no longer am I going to fight at 145. I'm going up to 155, going to fight there. And is maybe he looking at the potential winner? Because I love the idea, and we talked about this up down. I don't think you talked about it, how you feel about it. But like, if Ilya Topuria is going to go and relinquish the 145-pound title, I don't necessarily believe that he immediately should fight for 155. I think he's got to prove himself that he can compete with the best of the best at 155. So meeting the winner of Gaethje versus Fiziev makes sense to say, hey, I'm coming into this division, and if I win that fight, then I fight for the championship. Yeah. I don't like the idea of him just, even though I said last week I love it, he's like one of my new favorite fighters because he relinquished the belt, but he should maybe just immediately fight for the title.
No, I think that's how it should work. Like, I don't necessarily think you need to go to the bottom of the totem pole and work your way back up or the complete back of the line. I don't think that's necessarily how it should work. But at the same time, like, yeah, you should maybe, you know, get some fights, for lack of a better word, under your belt before fighting automatically for the title. So I think that, yeah, maybe, but he's proven that he's a pretty good fighter. So maybe because he has the belt, I do understand it. You want to capitalize on notoriety, and obviously he's a champion, so he's well known. And so to have him work his way back up, if he loses, he's a high-rising fighter. So putting him on a main event where he's got a shot at the title automatically, I do understand why they're doing it.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. You know, build on that momentum. And again, I think we were talking about it also last week that he could be one of those guys that has that Conor McGregor type of meteoric rise. If he's successful in this transition, you mentioned Jamal Hill versus Khalil Roundtree Jr. So they'll main event UFC Kansas City. That's exciting from the standpoint of just two guys that are really entertaining fighters. They were supposed to fight a fight that was booked for last year, but it didn't come to fruition because of injuries. And now you get that as a headliner, an important fight because both guys have fought for the championship. Both guys coming off of losses, Roundtree losing in the title fight to Pereira. Jamal Hill just losing his high profile fight against Yuri Prochazka. So that'd be entertaining. And John Silva, like, maybe this is the guy. Maybe look, I know it's February, still February. We're recording this here on a Friday, but potential guy for fighter of the year already in the mix for him. What he did last year,
love
already him. Winning impressively last week in Seattle, a fight that I definitely handicapped incorrectly. But, you know, he comes off a knockout. He calls out Bryce Mitchell. Everyone wants to punch Bryce Mitchell in the face for his Hitler comments and how he's kind of tried to come back on it. But
he said he's going to hit him so hard he's going to think the earth is round again.
Right,
great.
Exactly.
I love it.
And we don't have to wait for it. That fight gets added to an already super impressive UFC 314 card in April in Miami. So that'll be a very, very high profile fight and an excellent opportunity to John Silva for him to, you know, put himself on the map at 145 pounds and for Bryce Mitchell to, you know, maybe he's going to use this, and I would hate it if he does, but as a platform to gain some popularity, whether it be in the positive or the negative, as a fighter that you want to continue to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are just 1 week away from UFC 313. You mentioned it, Ankalaev and Pereira should be a very good fight. It seems right now it's at about a pick 'em. What do you think of that line right now?
I think that's fair. I mean, I think as impressive as Pereira has been and just how dominating of a champion that he's been, there are question marks still, in my opinion, about his ability to keep fights standing if indeed he's going to be in there with a fighter that is grappling heavy or will take a grappling heavy game plan. And Magomed Ankalaev, even though he's, you know, kind of obscure for the standpoint of, like, you know, those fighters that are coming from Dagestan and Russia with a grappling heavy exchange, that he could fight and he could strike. And we haven't really seen him look to use a lot of the takedowns that I know he has in his arsenal. But these guys have been on a collision course for quite some time and have known that they're going to fight at some point. So I think Ankalaev would likely be stupid if he weren't trying to execute some sort of takedowns initially in this fight. I think Pereira, we know he's going to be ready for it. And I always talk about his camp, and Glover Teixeira is going to have him ready for it, but I think it's fair. And I talked about it a couple of weeks ago when this fight was officially announced, that my money might be on Ankalaev. He's one of my favorite fighters, and I love him. And maybe it'll change. You know, I'll understand. Like, you know, I'll tweet out on Sunday, like morning when I wake up. It's Poatan week, like, because I'm amped. I love every single time that this guy fights.
Yeah,
and it's great. But I worry for him. This is the one guy. This was the one guy that was pegged as a future champion. This is one guy that was like the uncrowned champion of the UFC light heavyweight division. Likely should have been the champion because of the fight against Jan Blachowicz. But Dana White said, fuck you. I'm going to let Jamal Hill fight for the championship against Glover Teixeira. So here we go. Here we go. And it should be a good fight. But I think to answer your question, the odds definitely make sense.
All right. Sounds good. So that's a little quick preview of the news. And next week, we'll get more into next week and what it means for Poatan. If he loses, if he wins, what happens in the heavyweight division? Does he go there? All that stuff. There's a ton of questions. It's going to be a very good pay-per-view next week. I mean, this is the main card is absolutely just stacked. The main card is great. The prelims, some of the prelims are very good. So this is going to be a very good card. The next two UFC pay-per-views are very good. All right, so let's get into this fight.
Let's try and get into it.
We're just going to talk about the co-main event and the main event, right? So our first fight that we care about is going to be Cody Brundage against Julian Marquez. This is going to be a good one in the middleweight division. You've got Brundage, who's 30 years old. He's 4-5 with one no contest. And it's weird because he's had a pair of fights, too, that have been stopped by an illegal blow to the back of the head. So two of his fights have been stopped recently because of that. All but three. So he's had 17 career appearances inside the octagon. So 14 out of the 17 have gone the distance. This should be a good one. Cody Brundage is plus 100 even money, and Julian Marquez minus 120 the favorite.
Yeah, well, I mean, initially Marquez was a minus 165 favorite. And Marquez is a guy that's lost three fights in a row as a minus 165 favorite. And all three times he's been finished. There's question marks about his durability. And his durability actually was one of his strong attributes early on in his mixed martial arts career, his toughness. But there's a lot of people that now believe that his chin is gone. So what remains from a guy that is known for his toughness and ability to, like, eat a strike and kind of you know, go through a war to get the fight to where he wants. I mean, look, his last win was in 2021 against Sam Alvey. And Sam Alvey, I think, is notorious. I think he holds the record for most losses in the UFC consecutively without being released.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam's great. Like, Sam's a great personality, and, like, he's now actually making a career in the karate combat league. But, I mean, the dude lost six in a row, but he didn't lose to Julian, you know. Julian Marquez was the last guy, also, you know, also handed him a loss. So I don't know where, like, Julian Marquez, like, has an advantage, you know, in this fight. Cody Brundage, you mentioned it. Yeah, he sometimes fights stupid. He gets into weird situations. But credit where credit's due in a loss. Like, he lasted over a round against Bo Nickel. And Bo Nickel was supposed to completely run through him, but, you know, he was tough enough to do it. Brundage hits hard. He's got a very strong overhand right, and he's got some wrestling to rely on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you saw the sharp money early on come in on Brundage when he was a bigger underdog, and I'm going to pick Brundage. I think that Brundage just has ways to win the fight. I don't know how Julian Marquez wins the fight. He hasn't been right for quite some time, and I think Brundage can land something early, and he hits really hard, and I don't think that Marquez can sustain that, or maybe Brundage just fights smart and takes him down and gets a ground and pound or gets a controlled kind of three-round decision. So as where we're standing right now, right, with Cody Brundage as the underdog or at a
even money,
pick him. Yeah, even money. Like, give me Cody Brundage.
All right. So Brundage at even money there, plus 100. So method of victories here, Marquez by sub at plus 270. Brundage by knockout, plus 270. Also, Marquez by knockout, plus 400. Brundage by points, plus 600. Brundage by submission, plus 600. And Marquez by points, plus 700.
I don't think we're in a club and sub situation with Cody Brundage, but if you wanted to add a little bit of a sprinkle of college basketball is going well for you on Saturday, you know, maybe Brundage by knockout.
Okay.
That plus 270 mark, because again, three consecutive finishes via TKO for Julian Marquez, and not just the chin. I think one of them was a body strike. So the guy might just be, you know, completely shop warm and done. And by the way, like, do you remember, like, the guy has a great nickname, the Cuban Missile Crisis?
Yeah.
Very solid.
Yeah.
And also, do you remember his post-fight shout-out and call-out to Miley Cyrus?
No, I don't.
Yeah, so that's kind of where he got a lot of notoriety.
Okay.
He shot his shot.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Well, evidently not well.
Not well.
Not well.
He's not the Travis Kelce of the of MMA because he's got a pop star as his girlfriend. So, all right, so our main event here, Mano Kopp is going to take on Albamayev. Albamayev, plus 175, the underdog. Kopp here, minus 220. This fight wasn't supposed to happen. Kopp was supposed to fight Brandon Royval. Albamayev was supposed to fight Steve Erceg, and then Nascimento, and stuff has gotten reshuffled and shuffled around. Now they're going to fight each other. And Albamayev coming in, four straight wins in the UFC, 17 straight wins overall, but he is the underdog here at plus 175.
Yeah, I mean, as he should. Like, if when Manel Kopp is right, I think he could be the UFC flyweight champion of the world. I think he's that talented. He's a superior athlete, very good striker, got a lot of experience in Ryzen, which is a renowned organization in Asia, before he made the transition over to here. He's a finisher, and, you know, he's not... The only kryptonite I think he has been in the grappling department. Like, when he fought Muhammad Makhachev, like, Muhammad Makhachev is an elite wrestler, and he controlled him for, you know, two of those three rounds. When he fought Alexander Pantoja, well, Pantoja's a champion of the world. We know how good that guy is from a grappling standpoint and submission standpoint. So if Manel Kopp is able to, and he's been improving, like, his takedown defense and his scrambling ability. We saw that on display, actually, in the Makhachev fight that he lost. I mean, arguably, he won one of those three rounds. And against Almabayev, well, here you go. You got a guy that's going to grapple. You got a guy that's what he's going to do. He's going to go and try and take you down and pursue those takedowns, and he's going to have 25 minutes, five rounds to do it. I do think, though, that there are differences in the level of experience and competition between Almabayev and Manel Kopp. And should have confirmed this, but I'm just going to cite my resource on Just Win MMA, which is a podcast that Reed Kuhn is a part of. And Reed Kuhn is a very well-known and established like Fightonomics, a very analytical guy when it comes to MMA handicapping. Apparently, Almabayev, and how many fights does Almabayev have now in his UFC career?
Four.
Four fights in his UFC
career. It says 17 total, 4-0 in his...
4-0 in the UFC?
Yeah.
Okay, all, you know, okay, got a submission win against his UFC debut against Ody Osborne, and then three straight unanimous decision victories. Hasn't landed a jab. Like a jab.
That's weird.
Like a jab.
Those are given.
Yeah, kind of, right?
I think you and I could land maybe a jab in one fight.
No, I don't want to try.
I don't want to try either. I'm just saying if we could, we could land one.
Do a celebrity
out of four?
Bilal. Bilal will let us punch him in the face one time.
Dude, Bilal, we wouldn't. I met, okay, side note, I met Bilal last weekend.
I was hoping you were going to get
in person. And so we've talked to him on the phone. We've done videos with him, all that kind of stuff. I finally met him in person. I was at the Mo Ammer show across the street here at the Chicago Theater. He's an Arab comedian. I said to my wife, we're walking in, I was like, you know, there's a lot of Arabs here. Like, obviously, it was like 90% Arab. I was like, maybe Bilal's here. And sure enough, we turned the corner and he's standing right there. And I was like, oh, hey, Bilal. And he kind of looked at me and I was like, we talked to him on the phone. We've seen him in person once through a video,
right,
and that's like through a screen and everything for like 15 minutes. So I was like, Adam Abdallah from ESPN. He's like, oh, no way. Because you do not sound like how you look. And I was like, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. He's like, I don't know either. And just came in and gave me a hug. And like, he was super nice and everything. We talked about the fight. We're going to try to get him in studio here before. He was just in Montreal this weekend or this week doing all the pre-fight stuff. So he's got like 2 months now. Before the fight. So we'll talk to him before, like 3 months, before the fight happens. But yeah, met him, super nice guy. Don't want to be in a fight with him. Don't want to do it. Don't want to do it. He's a little bit taller than me.
Yeah.
But don't want to be in a fight with him. I don't want to be in a fight with the guys he was with, his buddies.
Yeah, I don't want to be in a fight with anybody, really. But I'm just saying,
talking about the fights. I don't want to be in the fights.
A jab being thrown. Okay, but nonetheless, like the guy striking, Almabayev striking, not that great. And,
yeah.
And again, Minalkop is an elite striker in my opinion, and a guy that's improving his grappling. So I do believe that Minalkop is going to be successful in this fight. I think even at the price point of the money line, at 225 is worth it. But if you want to get that price point down, you're going to couple it Minalkop and then over like 1.5, over 2.5, gets down to like $1.40, $1.30.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do believe that we're not getting a quick finish in this fight. I do believe this fight is going to go into the later rounds, maybe even go to the judges' scorecards.
Yeah, the over 4.5 is minus 152.
Yeah, so let's just middle mini parlay,
okay,
part of the main event, and do Minalkop and an over at, I think you could just go over 1.5, 2.5, and I've seen that price drop that down to like $1.40.
Okay. All right. So method of victory here, Kop by knockout is plus 185, Kop by points is plus 220, Almabayev by points plus 270, Almabayev by submission 12-1, Kop by submission 13-1, and Almabayev, who hasn't landed a jab, by knockout 17-1. So we're just going to go with Kop here and then add the over 1.5 or something like that.
I don't want to go a one-off Kop, like via decision, because Kop is a finisher and can do a strike. So I just think I want to leave the ability and the opportunity for Kop to win the majority of ways and the over, the fight going into, the second or third, fourth round.
Okay, sounds good. So, yeah, not a parlay, not a very good card, no prop of the night. Just take Cody Brundage on even money line.
I could give you a.
You're gonna give us a parlay?
I could give you a parlay.
Okay, all right, let's do a parlay.
I can give you a parlay. So
we're putting Kop in the parlay.
Put Kop in the parlay on the prelims. Put Mario Pinto on that. I just think that he's gonna land something pretty hard on Austin Lane, and Lane's gonna go to say Chepe.
Pinto's in there.
Chepe Mariscal over Ricardo Ramos.
Mariscal, all right. Mariscal's in there.
What's that at? That's three fights.
Three fights plus 110.
Okay. I think that's fine. Because, look, I think... I don't want to upset you, but Rybovich, I think, is going to beat Hasparot.
Okay.
So add that. He's like a dollar 220, I think.
Hribovic, yeah, minus 265. That takes us to plus 120, plus 190. Plus 190,
okay.
Yeah, plus 190. So Hribovic, Mariscal, Pinto, and Kopp. The one guy that we didn't talk about, speaking of Pinto, so you think Pinto is going to beat Austin Lane, former Chicago Bear. Austin Lane from Evanston, Illinois. He's a heavyweight. He played for a bunch of NFL teams. He was a defensive lineman. His last NFL team in 2014 was the Chicago Bears. So he, you know, played in the NFL for about 5-6 years, bounced around multiple teams, but he was a former Bear from Evanston, Illinois. Jordan doesn't like him. He's picking against Austin Lane.
It's not that I don't like him.
Yeah. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's one that I circled because he's local and he was a former Bear.
He's you know, look, he's 1-2-1.
Not saying he was good, but he was a former Bear.
He's 1-2-1 in the UFC. He's been knocked out twice. The one time that he should have actually been knocked out a third time, but we saw just Robles Desprin, the guy that came in, the Cuban boxer that was like knocking people out, and then he had zero takedown defense, and Austin Lane was able to do that. Pinto's got takedown defense. Pinto has grappling experience, so Austin Lane's going to be in that predicament. He's not going to be able to use that game plan, and I don't know what game plan Austin Lane's going to do. So Pinto to win that fight, I like.
All right. He's Jordan Sherwood. I'm Adam Abdallah. Follow Jordan on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. We'll be back next week for a great fight card, UFC 313. It's Potown week. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait for it. We'll have a huge show for you guys next week, so make sure you tune in. And thank you for listening to the Unnamed MMA Podcast.